Hey, wonderfuls. Welcome to episode 397 of the podcast with my guest, comedian. That's right. I took Canadian and comedian and I made them comedian. Jess, if you're listening to this, you're welcome. I hope everyone is doing well. It has been a very frenzied last week or so. It's probably no surprise to anyone, excited that we seem to be making some progress in a direction that I feel comfortable with. But listen, we're all different, and our job is to understand each other better. So here's hoping that the rest of the year gets even better and that we are able to... Man, it's such a cliche to say heal. I mean, could we be saying that even more? Maybe I mean H-E-E-L. No, I don't. Please enjoy this episode with Jess. I find her to be utterly delightful. Speaking of utterly delightful, Amanda, I want to thank you for your wonderful email. Thank you for brightening my day. And thank you all for brightening my life. I said brightening like I maybe was an alien from outer space and was experimenting with English for the first time. But indeed... thank you all for brightening my life. I'm getting some mashes scheduled. That's very exciting. Great to be in touch with some of you, and I will talk to you soon. Say you are you found yourself, I do feel that you said it almost like it was happening to you, rather it was a decision you were making, and I always applaud that way of expressing oneself. It sounds like a second bubble.
I think tapioca is right, but I also don't know what tapioca is. And I
love all of this, yeah. Because I feel like now I found someone who knows less about bubble tea even than I do, and I've never had it, so... like you get the experience, you have the experience, but I have like one tick more knowledge than you, which is still like almost none whatsoever.
You know that it's tapioca, and that sounds familiar to me. And I mean, you're in Los Angeles, right? So why do I feel like that you guys would be ahead of us in New York with this kind of thing? But I don't even know that it's a healthy thing. It may not be healthy at all. Like each little ball might be like a slice of pizza for all I know. And I'm thinking like it's some kind of soy product. It's like, I don't know. Anyway.
Be like drinking a tea with pudding in it. Like, but pudding put into a sort of solid bubble form, a solid ball form in little pieces, like Dippin' Dots. Mm-hmm. Like maybe somehow it's like the Dippin' Dots of, because tapioca is like a starchy... like I associate tapioca with either pudding or maybe like I'm gluten free and I have been for like 15 years. So there were a lot of ingredients that I had to look at early on. And I feel like tapioca is something that sometimes gets used to kind of create a glutinous type situation for, you know, like a bread that wouldn't normally hold together. That sort of can be one of the glues that takes the place of gluten. But it's true that I've never had them. And I think part of it for me is that there is a question of, I mean, now they've been around for years. So again, could not love more that you also had never had any. And I do feel behind now for sure. Because I think you and I are the last two people on earth
I'm the second to last latest to the game. And you're the latest to the game.
But they kind of look like bubble, like my mom used to use these like bath pearls sometimes when she would take a bath. You know, they were sort of these little plastic things. I mean, they looked plastic, but of course they weren't because they would dissolve, but they were the sort of like outer, a slightly hard kind of, you know, almost like a row, like a fish egg. Like you could prod it, and if you poke a needle through it, then the soap would start to come out.
Yeah.
And they had a very perfumey smell.
Yeah.
And that's what they look like to me, the bubble teas. So it looks like a bath water of bath pearls. So I can't associate my taste buds with what I'm seeing.
Right. Well, that's, I think probably you've articulated what was holding me back. I know the bath pearls you're talking about. I do still believe the outer shell of that was like a very thin layer of plastic that probably just dissolves into the water. And it's like
an amount. And seep right into your skin.
It's probably like determined to be like an amount of plastic that is negligible enough in a bath water to not. But again, I don't know what I'm talking about. Maybe they're made out of like tapioca for all I know. But but that is, you know what? So these balls, I just chewed one while this was going on, actually. I hope, I don't know if the audio picked up, but I was chewing on a ball. And I'm going to say I could see how this could be used as glue. They're very chewy. It's sort of like a gummy, like kind of like between, but like a softer gummy. Almost like, and it almost, it's like gum where you're like, is this actually something that's going to stay in my mouth as a piece of gum, or is it going to dissolve as a candy?
Yes, and I know that texture well.
The other thing that I find, and I don't know if you have this gum in the U.S. now that I'm thinking of it, I should just mention that I'm originally from Canada. We walk amongst you undetected, so sometimes it's like it's something I need to come out about. And it was like, my wife, whatever. But listen, I need to tell you guys, I know I sound like I could be from here. But there was a gum called Thrills. And it was sort of like a Chiclet. They were pink Chiclets. Like it came in a box that looked like the Chiclets box, you know, with the. Yeah. And you guys have Chiclets, right? Thrills. Okay, anyway. So, and.
Yes.
And
100%. Yes.
Okay. And so the thing about Thrills is it was a bit of a salant. Do you know what? Do you guys have Thrills, or I'm telling you something new?
No. Oh, okay, no. Okay, okay. But it's just. So, thus, I'm really loving it, hearing it for the first time. Because it's just. You just realize, like, how incredibly stupid most names of things are.
I know. I have not said that word aloud. I've not mentioned or thought about Thrills.
Was it Thrills with an S or Thrills with a Z?
No, with an S. And so it was a bit of a, it was a gum that was popular in the way that cilantro is. Either you were horrified and disgusted or you loved it. And I hated Thrills because it was gum that essentially tasted like soap. And so, you know, the bath pearl thing and thinking that these are going to be soapy little balls in my tea, I could see, because to me, it just brings me right back to. And this friend of mine, she just loved Thrills. She ate them all the time in school, or she chewed on them. And sometimes I was so desperate for a piece of gum, I'd convince myself that I could do it and that maybe it wasn't as bad. And maybe the soap flavor was just sort of in my own mind, because why would anyone ever market that, you know? Because, you know, the whole thing as a kid is like you're going to get your mouth washed out with soap. And and now there's like a full pack of gum that's basically that.
Wow.
So Thrills, I wonder if they still exist. Anyway, disgusting gum that tasted like soap. And so the idea that I would be drinking something with some soapy balls at the bottom, but they're not.
Yeah.
They're not. So if that's what you're afraid of, if you're thinking they are like pearls and it's going to taste like soap, it's not. They're very fun time in the mouth.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try it. Well, okay. Let me say, I would give two quick things out, and then I would like for you to describe the actual flavor. Like, does it just sort of, no, I'm asking you now. Does it taste like, just sort of like the same way that certain gummies do? There's sort of, it's like an indefinable sweetness. Like, you wouldn't say, like, it tastes like coconut, or it tastes like pineapple, or it tastes like orange. It's just like a sort of sweet, chewy.
It's a sweet, chewy, but it's less sweet than a gummy. It's less sugary, and basically I guess, you know, and it's sitting in tea with milk. I don't even know what the tea is. There's also like a lot of flavors, and I just got the basic one, which reminds me of like a kind of British tea where they put, you know, a lot of milk or cream,
like an Earl Grey, like a Twinings, PG Tips perhaps. Okay, these are the other two things I would say. Number one, how odd and interesting that my friends who hate cilantro say it tastes like soap. So here we have these two things that are divisive, and we have anecdotal evidence that both of them taste like soap to people who don't like them, yet they seem very different on the scale of what they are portending to taste like to people. Number two, you say you walk among us, but when you say things like cilantro, that is when we know you're Canadian. Okay. That is when your Canadian shows.
I feel like I've been passing this whole time, but really I have not been at all. I got a code switch up my language. and say process and not process, really.
So you got to say pasta, not pasta. You got to say cilantro, not cilantro. I mean, you got your work cut out for you.
It's the letter A that really, you know, when I meet someone and their name is, I think it's Alana. And they're like, no, it's Alana. And I'm like, I can't. I'm never going to get it.
You're never gonna get it.
I feel like there's certain things just like accept me. I mean, if it's not like a cultural thing, you know, if it's just another white person, I'm like, I'm sorry, I cannot put an effort on this. I'm too busy remembering to say Kamala correctly and not Kamala. Yeah,
that does take precedence.
I'm working on that right now. At the moment, my plate is full.
Fair. Now, are you from Ontario? Are you from BC, Ottawa? Where in Canada do you hail from?
None of those, Janet. I'm from the French part.
I'll keep guessing.
One more major city.
Well, I guess Quebec is. No, I could say Newfoundland.
Yeah. Then I would have a remarkably strong accent. Like my accent then would really stand out. But I know I'm from the French part of Canada, which is why I'm hot. You can't see me on this podcast, but you know, I come from the good looking part of Canada, Quebec.
I love les Québécois.
Yes,
I do love them. My mom taught in Quebec City. She was a French teacher, French professor, and then became a high school French teacher. And she did like, you know, a year in France, and she also did a year teaching in Quebec City, and you know, just loved it. And it took me such a long time to ever visit Montreal. I don't know what I was thinking. Because I had even, by the time I went to Montreal, I had already been to Vancouver many times. And as a kid who grew up learning French and, you know, I was an exchange student and all of that, like the moment of getting on a plane to Canada for the first time and having the welcome happen in both languages.
Oh, yeah.
I felt like I was high. Like I had just taken a drug. I was like, my people. And then somehow still I had not visited Montreal for another like several years. I don't know what my problem was.
Wait, but did your mom speak French? Like, did she teach you French if she was a French teacher? Is she French?
She's American. She did speak French around the house, and she did teach me lots of little songs and stuff, but she wasn't like trying to educate me to be fluent. I was not raised bilingual by any stretch of the imagination in Tucson, Arizona. I was raised actually speaking Spanish for the first 6 years of school. I was in a bilingual program that was English Spanish, and then I started taking French as soon as I could, which was in public high school in grade 9. I did that for you.
Oh, thank you. Look at that.
You're welcome. I want you to feel very warmed and welcomed onto my podcast.
I mean, if all we shared was that we were both like late to the bubble game tea, that would have already been a lot. Already feeling welcome and warm. Yeah. Well, Quebec City is I really recommend it. Most people have come to Montreal and less people know about Quebec City, but it's actually the closest, I believe, you can get to a foreign country or a European country in Canada. Yeah. Montreal has like people like me who are, you know, English speakers first and French speakers second, because I grew up in sort of like an Anglo minority in that little bubble, which is why I don't have an accent in English, and I do have one in French, sadly. But in Quebec City, it's like it's really a French city. It's a walled city, which I don't believe exists anywhere else in North America.
God, I don't think so. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
And it's really very old, a very old city. I mean, especially in the old, like, and Montreal has like an old part of the city in the old port and or old Montreal, but Quebec City has like an entire part of the, its center is all within these like walls, and it's a fortress basically. It's a very romantic place. I recommend, sometimes I try to recommend it to people to go if they're sort of in a new relationship or, but Montreal is romantic too, but Quebec City, it really feels like a world away. Montreal.
This is making me ache so hard.
I know for travel.
As
I know
we all are, but oh,
me too. Yeah. I'm like, what I would give to go to Quebec City, and I'm like, I guess I technically could go over the border because it's close. But I have
I
could. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
now, can your wife do that too? I guess because you're married.
That's great. She's Canadian too. We both,
oh, she's Canadian. Yeah, so I forgot that.
She's Canadian. She's from Montreal. We both moved to New York together. And actually, she likes me to let people know that although she's the Arab one in the relationship and I'm the white one, she was the one that got the green card, actually. So
that is nice to know.
Yeah. I know. A lot of people assume it was me, but it wasn't.
Yeah, they would. We would. We've been conditioned to, but like it or not. Indeed.
It was definitely under Obama, but you know.
Okay, we're going to take a break. I will be back after a word from our wonderful buddies at Maximum Fun.
Listen, I'm a hotshot Hollywood movie producer. You have until I finish my glass of kombucha to pitch me your idea. Go.
All right, it's called Who Shot Ya? A movie podcast that isn't just a bunch of straight white dudes. I'm Iffy Whiteyway, the new host of the show and a certified BBN.
BBN?
Buff black nerd.
I'm Alonzo Duraldi, an elderly gay and...
Listen, I'm a hotshot Hollywood movie producer. You have until I finish my glass of kombucha to pitch me your idea. Go.
All right, it's called Who Shot Ya? A movie podcast that isn't just a bunch of straight white dudes. I'm Iffy Whiteyway, the new host of the show and a certified BBN.
BBN?
Buff black nerd.
I'm Alonzo Duraldi, an elderly gay and legit film critic who wrote a book on Christmas movies.
I'm Drea Clark, a loud white lady from Minnesota.
Each week, we talk about a new movie in theaters and all the important issues going on in the film industry.
It's like Guess Who's Coming to Dinner meets Cruising.
And if it helps seal the deal, I can flex my muscles while we record each episode.
I'm sorry, this is a podcast? I'm a movie producer. How did you get in here?
Iffy, quick, start flexing.
Bicep, lats, chest. Who Shot Ya? Dropping every Friday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Must I inquire if you are familiar at all with what is what really for me, especially a few years ago when I was really kind of going through something rough with my mom's health and stuff, I got deeply into Louise Penny books. Do you know who that is?
I've heard
do
of
I
her-
need to tell you?
You do need okay. to tell me. I've heard the name sound familiar, but I don't know the books.
Okay. I don't know how much I've talked about this on the podcast, and if I have, I think it's probably been quite a long time. So I feel comfortable acquainting you with these books that are, they take place in a fictional town, hardly even a town, just a very small place, right past the Canadian border off Vermont into Canada, and I just said Canada like a Canadian. That's the worst, is that I'm probably going to start taking on your accent and then people will be like, ew, you're such a gross actor. And it's not on purpose at all. It never has been my entire life. It's never been on purpose ever. My mirror neurons are off the chart. They're just off the chart.
I wish I could do accents. Anyway, no, I love that.
It's embarrassing. Yeah. It's embarrassing. Like I feel like I have to make an effort to not be the person that's like, and I was down in Mexico. And because everyone hates that person. So
I wish I could have seen you when you got back from your semester abroad in France.
No, because look, I didn't carry it back with me because as soon as I got back, I just talked like everyone I was around.
Oh, okay. So,
but I will say, believe me, I have some French Canadian listeners. You know who you are. And, and Pierre Jerome being one of them. Who enjoys correcting my French pronunciation when I get too cocky on the podcast. He likes to put me in my place. So it takes place in, it is the Anglo part. It's considered an Anglo town, but this detective named Inspector Gamache, who obviously is Quebecois, he ends up falling in love with this town. He has to solve a mystery there. Then he ends up moving there. And it is, I mean, it really is like gentle mystery porn.
Okay.
but it's also like, she's wonderful because she is very contemporary. Like, you might be a person who likes Murder, She Wrote and also Louise Penny.
Yeah.
But you would also be a person who likes Louise Penny and like something like Stephen King. Like she does not afraid to go dark. She's not afraid to like, she uses fuck back, you know, all the time. Like there's no, there's no sense of preciousness about it, but the town that she's created is so the town that many of us would like to retire to. Mm-hmm. You know, it's mm-hmm. it's that fantasy of like, you know, both Anglos and French Canadians have moved there. So there's like a B&B that has, you know, there's a little bit of, you know, like overly describing the fresh hot buttered, you know, croissant or whatever, you know. So there's some of that going on, but she's wonderful. And I got into listening to the audiobooks, which are narrated, of course, by this wonderful, gentle British man. I love them so much. And people who love these books love them so much that I can see myself being one of those women who's like, and I took a train tour through all the little different areas that Louise was inspired by. I went to the monastery where the monks make the cheese, and I stayed, you know, just like, I want to do all of it.
Just like cosplaying the books.
Yes, yeah. I want to cosplay the
or
books.
Like
those
like reenactor type of people that fully, or what am I thinking? Like the, is it not LARPing, but the like the Civil War reenactors, but it would be sort of for Lou. I mean, just the name Louise Penny. I don't know why when you said she uses the word fuck, I was like, oh, not Louise. I know.
That's why I was holding that back so I could just dazzle you and shock you a little bit. Have you been that way with books ever? Because that's the only set of books I can think of that, you know, I sort of ravenously would consume. I'm not feverish about stuff anymore as an adult. Do you have stuff like that you're kind of feverish about now?
I have lost all fever I have to complete any book. I'm really sadly just such a consumer of politics and you know, I guess I read sometimes biographies, but I've been so bad about reading I'd say in the last especially 4 years. Can't imagine why, but mm-hmm. my attention span, and I think mostly I read the longest things I'll read are, you know, long form articles or like comedy stuff, but I'm really bad about reading, and it's the thing that I want most to change in my life, I think. Maybe if I got back into
it. I'm going to get you started on some Louise Penny.
Yeah, maybe. I love the way that you described the sort of the town. So it's one town that she's created that she's imagined over on the Canadian side of the border near Vermont, where all of the low-key murder mystery stuff takes place. Is that right?
Mm, yeah, but there's stuff that takes place in Montreal. And then this last one she did, Gamache's son, I'm taking this like it's real people, speaking of biographies, the main character's son moved to Paris with his family. Then I think he and his wife, Reine Marie, go to Paris. So this last one that she just released. And again, the fever has calmed down considerably over the last couple of years. I don't actually feverishly consume stuff now the way that I did in that particular pocket, but I'm still very much looking forward to it. So that one will take place in Paris, and it always is like, you know, it always gets great reviews. It's not poorly written. It's not, you know, it's not popcorn reading. Like the New York Times always says, this is, you know, she's fabulous. She's one of the great writers, blah, blah, blah. So it's not, you know, it's not like, you know, beach reading, I would say. But what about when you were younger? Did you have stuff like that that you were just really hardcore about?
I was, I was never a bookworm, I would say.
What about like music or movies?
I think I was really into, I did sports. like such a dumb jock all of a sudden. No. I liked throwing a ball around. I did, whatever I got into, I mean, that's sort of the general theme I feel like of my life, is that I do get quite feverish about things. And there's been different things over time. And I kind of, you know, I'm very easily influenced. I'll like fall into something because like the people around me are into it.
Oh, sure.
And then I get very, very intense about it. So if it's sports, like, I mean, at one point I got really into triathlon for 2 years. I went full on. I was really, music wise, I was pretty deep into like jam bands, I'd say. So like in high school, when it was sort of, you know, coalesced around starting, you know, trying drugs, and then I went down the jam band path, and was really into the Grateful Dead and Fish, and also followed Fish around with my friends and saw many concerts in a short amount of time, I guess over about 4 years, many years ago. So that was, I think, my biggest music sort of deep dive that I was into, was everything. And then that got me into, because of like the freeform style of like, I don't know, jam bands. I guess that's like sort of the overarching name for it. I got into jazz and funk and other, like, you know, mm-hmm. other kinds of music where people jam like, right. for long periods of time.
Then I started making jam because I felt like I just, the word itself was meaningful,
you know,
to me.
One thing led to another, and I was living over the border, near the border with America.
I love what I'm hearing. I love, you know, everything I'm hearing.
Picking raspberries, like making my own confiture. Yeah.
Oh, heavens, yes.
But yeah, I was, I mostly, you know, I liked movies. I liked TV. I liked sports. I did read books that we were supposed to read. I don't know if I ever, I'm trying to think, there's probably been a couple times in my life where I've been sort of sad to finish a book. But I think the ones when I was a kid were, you know, all of the Judy Blume, Beverly Cleary. I mean, Are You There, God? Sure. It's Me, Margaret. That stuff, those are the books I remember the most clearly, yeah. as like excited to sit down with it. And, you know, I don't know. Yeah.
What was the?
Did you know I was illiterate when I came on this podcast?
Anyway, this has been great. I'm going to wrap it up. No, I mean triathlon. That's like, oh yeah, yeah. I was so I was athletic up until junior high, and then I think I had that thing that happens to a lot of perhaps young men too, but I can't speak for that as much as I can my own experience and conversations I've had with other women. But I think I really fell prey to the like locker room discomfort, not wanting to change in front of people when your body's changing, and like I really came to dread PE, even though I was a good athlete. I have a shameful association with it. The irony being, of course, that I was like, that's cool. I'll just do dance instead. Dance also requires you to change. God. So somehow,
no, and
you
dance.
Know what I mean? Like, I don't know how I didn't equivocate those. Like, what am I trying to say?
Like associate them or...
Equivocate, yeah. Is certainly not what I mean. But yeah, I thought that felt better somehow. Maybe it was the people that I don't know.
I feel like dance is like probably the kind of athletic endeavor that is where people would be the most critical of your body.
But, well, that makes sense if it's ballet, but if it's public high school, like public middle school and public high school dance, that means it's just a weird amalgamation of all different kinds of styles of dance. Okay. And there, you know, I would say there were, you know, kind of more serious dancers who were a part of it, but they would definitely be part of, I would think, something outside of school too. And it was they were very like body positive experiences.
Okay. Oh, nice. That's good.
I'm happy to say I never took ballet or anything, what I would say, quote unquote, real like that. And that does seem kind of excruciating based on conversations I've had with people who really were, who went down that road, you know?
Yeah, and gymnastics too, I would put in that
potential
category from what I've heard. I should also say I was very protected in that I went to an all-girls school, and so I wasn't really exposed to, during those critical years, too much judgment that might come in a like co-ed environment. And yeah. So, I mean, with respect to body stuff, I almost feel like there were, I remember competitions to see like who could grow their leg hair the longest, like just like go the longest without showering and be disgusting in the house. And how that was like cool. I don't know. I was protected from the patriarchy to a certain extent during these during those years. And I mean, one of the things about growing an all girls school, which I realized later that was so funny and weird. But I guess because, I mean, aside from body stuff, one of the things that people say about, you know, education in that kind of environment is that women or girls aren't shy to speak up in class and raise their hand because you're not thinking that you're going to be judged mm-hmm. by any boys. And I mean, girls can be mean, but no one's really like, oh, like, I can't believe she's raising her hand and saying something, you know, type of thing. So when I, before comedy, I there was a period of my life, another phase where I was a lawyer. And in my like first year in the, I was at the Department of Justice in Ottawa in the Canadian government. And I had my review and my boss, who was a woman, asked me if I went to an all-girls school. And I was like, how did you know? And she's like, well, you don't seem shy to speak up in meetings. And but she was, I think she was saying it like it was a bad thing. Like I was like, I was so low level and, you know, in meetings with like people quite senior in the government. And I had literally just graduated law school and wasn't even yet like officially a member of the bar. And I just was like, no problem, like giving my opinions. And that really stuck with me. I was like, that. Oh, yeah, I could see that. So
I love that. Yeah. What about, I mean, this is, I don't mean this in any kind of salacious way at all, but yeah. But were you like sort of out to yourself when you were, by the time you were going to an all-girls school? Like, did you have, what was that time like for you in terms of your sort of hormones and all that kind of good stuff?
Oh, that good stuff. Yeah, no, I don't believe I was repressing being gay in any way. I wasn't out, but I don't think I realized that I was mm-hmm. interested in women at all. Yeah. And I do, I've sort of stopped a little bit because I've been in this lesbian marriage for so long, but I always did identify as bisexual once mm-hmm. I started dating women, which I only happened when there's only been a few of them. And my first relationship, and for the first woman that I hooked up with was a relationship, and I was 28, almost 29. So, mm-hmm. And up until that point, I only dated men, but I don't know when I first, I mean, sometimes I try to look back and think about like, if I did have any crushes on girls, I don't know that I did. There were definitely things that I thought were sexy, like Madonna, I would say, was whenever she would gender bend in her, when she would wear a suit or act really mm-hmm. dominating, you know, over her dancers or like in her shows or when her book Sex came out, you know, that was like such a big deal. And I remember being very titillated by all of that. But I, luckily, I don't feel like there was something that I was really repressing so much. I don't, sure. I think I always had a hard time connecting with guys, but I think I assume that was partly because I didn't know any really, or right. I only saw them in a party context. Like we never, you know, when you go to an all-girls school, you don't see them as anything other than in a social way, you know. Mm-hmm. You don't work together, you don't do sports together, you don't have friendships with them. So I think that was part of that. And it wasn't that I wasn't attracted to them or had, I mean, I had crushes and, you know, there were small, I wouldn't even call them related. I didn't have a boyfriend or anything, but, you know, little hookups at dances and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I was definitely like attracted to guys, but I think, and this like went, you know, I think is kind of remained the same throughout my life. When I talk about like being bisexual, for me, it's very much like I'm as attracted to men as I am to women, but I just don't connect with them in the same way. And yeah. And when I look, you know, almost like every guy that I did end up dating, like after like college through my 20s, let's say, broke up with me. Like I've always got every relationship with a guy, I've been the one broken up with, and with women, they haven't broken up with me somehow. So I don't know where that comes from, but yeah, I also, it was not a thing to, there was no one that was out in my, like in those years in my high school. Yeah. So I was there at this time, growing up now, it would be different, and I would even see it as an option, but I didn't know any gay people. No one was out. And it's crazy to think about, because my school was so gay in a way, like, you know, the school was called Miss Edgar's and Miss Cramp School.
That again.
So it already sounds like a Harry Potter book, but Miss it's an all-girl school called Miss Edgar's and Miss Cramp's School.
Wow.
And Miss Edgar and Miss Cramp, I believe, were two lesbians. I believe they were. I really solidly believe that. Yeah. You know, or as they were like known in 1903, maybe like roommates or whenever the school was founded. It was founded a long time ago. It's been definitely around for over 100 years. And then our school mascot was the beaver.
Great.
And then like all of our cheers were like hip hip hooray beaver ray. Our yearbook was called the beaver log. we had the beaver on the crest of our uniform, and around the beaver was a Latin motto that translated to not for yourselves but for others. It was like so inappropriate. Amazing. I don't know. Yeah.
Amazing.
Big, my school is a big target for flashers, which seems like such a, I don't know if they exist anymore. Obviously there's people that masturbate at you on the subway, but this was like, looking back, it just seems like such, and maybe I just don't get flashed anymore, but it just seems like such a formal type of crime, you know, where you're like, have to have like the right kind of coat, and you know, you're just, yeah. Open it up.
Yeah.
Here it is. No filter on it. Like oldest dick pic in the world. And then, you know, and it's like, and it was like taken seriously, actually. Because we had our library had a big window, like one wall. They did a renovation and like there was a big window there. And so they would come and flash us in the library, and then we would all talk about it and the police would come, and it was like a whole thing.
Wow, that really is fast. I mean, that, yeah, the idea of there being, rather than like somebody, like that seems like a thing that happens at random, kind of on the run. The idea that it would be like a destination.
You know what?
A destination for flashers.
It's like a peep show. I honestly, like, I'm going to blame that. I'm going to blame that happening in the library for why I don't read books enough.
You're right, too. You're right, too.
Yeah, yeah. There's my very good excuse.
That's so crazy. Yeah, I what's weird for me is that I've only had... like I've only had someone expose themselves to me that I can remember, or that, you know, twice. One of them was sort of more incidental because it was like a streaker. So it wasn't,
okay.
It wasn't aimed at me, but both were in like European countries.
Oh, really?
Nothing has ever happened to me in the States. I mean, I've had fucked up stuff happen to me that was way worse than that.
Yeah.
But it's just weird that like the couple of times that I've had that sort of super offensive, but like on the scale from one to psychologically damaging for me, that is like at the low end, that it would only happen once in France and once in Italy seems random to me.
It does seem all of a sudden, now that I like think about it, so like too flamboyant for an American type of crime, you know, like I don't know if it's like there isn't the flair for that kind of drama here.
In terms
of the range of sexual assault stuff, but yeah, it was definitely a thing, and it's something that I have not like seen or thought about since then. In the streets of New York.
The library window. How nuts.
I know.
Do you have siblings?
I have a sister who's 2 years younger than me.
Okay. Yeah. And did your family stay? Is everybody still like in Montreal or Canada? Or?
No, my well, my sister moved to Toronto because her. Her French was really, really bad. Like she was the worst.
They were making it sound like they kicked her out.
Well, she couldn't get a job. And so she moved. Oh, no. She like a lot of Anglos in Montreal, she moved to Toronto, where you do not need to speak any French. I mean, it is such a lie that the rest of Canada is bilingual because it's not. I mean, it's like how in America people took French for years and speak three words, you know, or Spanish,
right,
or whatever.
Right.
But so she grew up in Montreal, but she just was not good at school. So she just never, she was also not good in French class, you know, and, yeah. I should say she wasn't good in school, but she is very good in life. And
right.
became successful in, the workplace. And so she moved to Toronto and she's been there for a long time and she's married and has two kids, so I have two nephews there, and my mom and dad split up when I was in law school, so already old enough to understand how relationships fall apart, and so my dad ended up he had his main like work his main business was in North Carolina always growing up, and he ended up just going there, moving there fully, and marrying a woman there in North Carolina. So that's like my one like American relative for a while. Was my dad passed away now a couple years ago, but that stepmom is like the only person in my family, I'd say, even though it's kind of loose now as family, who like lives in one of these like red-ish states, and who I don't know how she votes, and like, you know, I just know with the politics of this country, like I forget, you know, there's all the, I'm in New York and whatever, but I remember that all these comedians that I know here all come from, you know, these other places where they have these very politically divided, you know, families, and so yeah. She's my only like real American Christian connection family-wise. And then my mom also married again to a Canadian guy, but he was living in New York and Florida. So
gotcha.
Yeah, we've mostly my immediate family is not I was like the last holdout actually until I moved in 2016.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
What and so how, I mean, listen, I'm so impressed with us for being on like 40 minutes without really talking about politics under the circumstances that we've just described. But here we are, you know, we are having this conversation on Friday after Tuesday's election, and so everybody can project to where they, whenever they listen to this, they can remember where they were, what was going on in the mid afternoon on Friday. But how were you feeling? And you know, a side note, obviously, like being a Canada native originally, mm-hmm. and sort of covering all this kind of stuff, you know, do you feel like you have a sort of remove from it, or is all of that gone because you also are, you know, a citizen of New York?
Right. So, I am a citizen of New York. It's so interesting being from, I mean, I've always felt very lucky. I was felt lucky to get the green card and all of the opportunities, like since we moved here for career reasons, and it has been really great, you know, in that respect. And New York is amazing, and the comedy community, and we've just sort of, you know, it took us a while to get the green card, you know, settle in here, get to this place, and work hard to sort of establish ourselves. And then, you know, we got to a place where we're like, oh, but you know, we may have to leave. You know, we're so lucky that we can, and the border from New York is so close that it's, you know, you could just, I mean, we did. We, like at the end of March, we did flee because of COVID.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I love that you coughed right as I said that.
I know. Somehow I've gotten lazy about drinking. Yeah. Somehow I've gotten lazy about when I take a sip of water, and it's as if I've decided it doesn't matter which pipe it goes down until it's gone down my windpipe. And then I'm like, why wasn't I more careful about that? It's weird. It's a weird new thing. Yes, yeah. Not a non-COVID cough. You did escape COVID. Did you go up like Niagara Falls? Is that
no? We just went
how
straight.
One does that or is it?
No, we go up. We go up through Vermont and went to Quebec. So yeah, we left at the end of March, but and then we came back when outdoor dining started. We were like right back in.
So you I guess, deigned to go
yeah,
back when
I was
outdoor
like,
dining.
Ah, I see they're Europeanizing New York and they're setting up the tables in traffic with rats scurrying by, but it looks nice
because it's New York, god damn it, we're gonna find a way through this. I love
people
it.
Really did. And
I love it.
And also, you know, comedy was happening outdoors. And anyway, so we came back and we've been since, but watching the election with a lot of trepidation and just not wanting to go back and feeling very lucky that we can go back. But I don't, you know, I also didn't, I feel for this country and I, you know, I do feel some guilt about abandoning it. And I make a lot of fun, obviously, of America. And then every once in a while, I'm reminded of like, okay, yeah, you do have a bit of a distance from it. And I do know people here. I do live here. But I think that sometimes I forget how much worse it is for someone who is actually American at the end of the day. And like, if this was happening in Canada, I would be devastated on another level. You know, I wouldn't have even any kind, like even as much as I'm into it and I feel for it. And if anything, you know, for America to fully slip into fascism is bad for everybody in the world. It's very bad for Canada and it's very bad for the people here. But yeah, I guess I do still have that chance to like go back over the border or make jokes with a little bit of a distance. But yeah, what's been funny is how popular Canada has become in America because growing up, I mean, when I went to camp for a few years in New Hampshire and it was, you know, no one knew anything about Canada and mostly assumed I lived in an igloo and went to school, you know, on a dog sled and didn't know if we had television or whatever, you know, it like,
yeah.
And now people could like tell me, you know, 10 policy points about our healthcare system. And it's like, people know who our leader is. No one knew who Trudeau, our leader, was before. And it's just because he's, you know, hot and the bar is so low. And all like, I do fuck with people a lot. Cause I, you know, I'm just like, you know, in Canada, we have paid maternity leave, even if you don't have a baby. And people are like, oh yeah, 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 for sure. Yeah. Yeah. We
wow.
We hope AOC will get that for us too. And, you know, uh-huh. Like, so that's been such a shift, you know?
Yeah.
People
no,
wanting
that's a good
to
point. That's a really
marry
good point.
Canadians. I did, you know, I did think that it would be useful to have an app that connected some of the single Canadians I know and single Americans, to get, you know, make some marriages happen. And
sure,
if things really went in they look like they're going in the right direction. I mean, we can't, I guess it's too early to call a Friday afternoon. Yeah. It's looking positive, but, I mean, assuming you were hoping for Biden.
Oh no, definitely not. Oh heavens no. I said I was against fascism. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I was thinking of something called the Maple Trap. Maybe would have been a good app to connect.
Oh,
some of the,
that's great.
You know,
are you kidding me? Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Ooh, you could even say, it could even be like the Maple Tap. Like, cause you tap the, like I'm tapping. Cause isn't that
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Some
well, I mean, God, like tap that ass, you mean like, or
exactly. Exactly. But you also tap the sap to it's, get yeah. the maple out.
Exactly.
I mean, the maple syrup, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
You don't have to tap a tree to get a tree out. But I mean, this yes. is this. Listen, I think that you're onto something. Sounds like a lot of work. And yeah. this whole pandemic thing is maybe throwing a little bit of a monkey wrench in there. But I love it. If I were, I feel bad saying this because my beloved is American, but there was a time when that felt extremely important to me as well. Again, not even because of the current political climate, but just because I loved Canada so much. I when I was shooting something there in Vancouver, it was like the third time I had been up there to work. I was like, what's it going to take? Like if this, because I was doing something for, I did a pilot with Ryan Stiles for CBC. And I was like, is that, would that mean that I would then, could I get a joint dual citizenship? Should I start now? Should I apply now? For, even though this pilot has not been picked up and did not get picked up, should I probably apply though? I was so ready.
Just, you so know, ready. Any connection to the CBC should be enough, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah, I know I could name drop one PA who came by the set who worked for the CBC.
There's also, you've also got that fan, the podcast listener. Is it Jérôme? What was it? Pierre Jérôme.
Yeah.
If you're listening. No, but you're already.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
No,
but
that's true.
When Texas secedes, I'll be able to go there whenever I want.
You're from Tucson. Right? Wait, Tucson is Arizona. Yeah.
Oh yeah, but Brandon's from San Antonio. Oh,
okay, I was like, do I have it all messed up? I feel like I've never known so much about the map, you know, since the last.
Oh sure,
year. Yeah,
yeah. All of this is a real way to get to know that stuff too.
Yes.
It's been a really interesting few days. I couldn't have wanted to protect my emotions more with cynicism than I did this time around. I mean, I really was like, nope, I'm gonna assume there's no chance. That doesn't mean I didn't vote early. Of course I did. It doesn't mean I didn't encourage people to vote on social media. Of course I did. But from a personal perspective, I just was like, I don't want to feel like I felt 4 years ago when I, like many people, felt like I'd been in some kind of accident. You know, where I was in shock, and I was, you know, there are so many of us. And I did feel like one of those people very quickly. I was like, I'm stupid to be this surprised. I know that I shouldn't be this surprised. And I really have to look at myself and look at that and look at my bubble and all of that kind of stuff. But to know that it's not like the country has healed in any way, shape, or form since 4 years ago. It's worse than ever, more divided than ever. You know, there's no way that this is going to. And I still am so afraid that there will pull out, like, you know, it would just be like, well, no, we're just we say that there was cheating and there just is. And then so it's as if the election never happened. I'm going to be, you know, and the thing that breaks my heart, and I would love to get your take on this, but I also, of course, need to get into this MASH game, is because that's just as important as American politics. Yes. Wanting to understand and reconcile and on some level sympathize/empathize with, and I understand because there's so much corruption in the Democratic Party. I'm definitely not like, listen, they're the angels with halos and the Republicans, like, I don't believe that. I don't think it's true. But in terms of this particular, you know, administration, like on there's of course a level in which I do understand that, you know, the kind of propaganda I guess is, you know, it's effective on some level, but also just whatever underlying core issues are, you know, this whatever the strings of the guitar are that are being strummed have deeper roots than, wow, I'm really mixing metaphors. You know how guitars grow on trees and you have to tap them like you do maple syrup.
Yes.
But, you know, I just it's so crazy that we're living in a time where half of us could think that we're in danger of becoming a fascist country, and the other half could think that we're in danger of becoming a fascist country, but each person thinks the other party is going to make that happen, kind of. You know, like, I just,
right,
like, wow, that seems, maybe that's the most normal thing in the world in a country that tips one direction or another, but it feels unusual historically.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like the other side has somehow gotten so worried about whatever they believe socialism is, and that somehow the Democrats represent socialism, that they prefer fascism. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's, you know, they're like so afraid of whatever they've been told socialism is going to do to their, which isn't even, I nobody knows what socialism even means here, but anyway, they're so afraid of socialism, let's say, quote unquote,
right,
and what that means for their freedom, whatever that means, you know, here, that they'd rather live under an authoritarian leader somehow, you know, and
right.
Yeah, no, it is. It's so infuriating because it's like, yeah, you're looking at, you're like, this, you guys, what are you thinking? How do you, and yes, all the conspiracies and everything that spread like wildfire, there's so much to undo, but, and you're cautious, you know, like to be so cautious about like admitting any kind of, moment of like, is this, can I actually allow myself to feel happy about this? Because so many of us were taken by surprise in 2016, whether we should have been or not, you know, is another issue. Yeah. But I was deeply scarred by that. I lost my mind. I was fully the caricature of, you know, it was like, yeah, the worst thing that had ever happened to me, probably, you know, in some ways, because I have like been so privileged, you know. My wife had a different perspective, I guess.
Was she like, of course this happened?
Yeah, I mean, because she's...
Yeah, because so many of my friends of color were like, oh, and, please, oh, you know, welcome to the rest of the world, Varney. Like, welcome to not being a white person.
Yeah. And then, like, on it, and so much bad stuff has happened the last 4 years. And there's been, I've been so unoptimistic about, and almost can't imagine a moment of good news. Like there was that moment where Trump got COVID, where I was awake. I was on the East Coast. I was awake because all I'd been doing was doom scrolling. It was what I was training for. There were people on Twitter on the West Coast that were like, oh, the East Coast is missing everything. I was like, ah, I'm here. We're all here. What are you talking about? We don't go to bed early. We're, you know, we've been waiting for this. And and then, you know, there was like that like moment, that one night of like happiness and maybe optimism. And then that obviously, you know, spoiler alert, he's fine. And, you know, so this is sort of the only other moment in besides that one moment where it's like, wait, is there some kind of, can I allow myself to be happy about the potential of this actually coming to an end? I mean, in the work and the everything underlying the divisions in this country and like what allows people to, how people are allowed to brainwash or put out propaganda as news and through all the different outlets, including television and Fox, and how people are so easily, you know, like being generous, duped into it or, you know, radicalized or are just racist and feel empowered to be outwardly. So like all of that is going to be a big, going to take a lot of time to undo. But just the idea of not seeing this guy's face, not hearing his name, like his family, like just that alone is so...
What a gift.
Orgasmic. I can't, I have no other word for it.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, it's,
Better we shall see, better my friend.
As good as bubble tea is, that is still so much better. Also, I want to say I can't even drink the bubble tea because you know what happens. Just so when you do try it, the little, and this is fun, but it's not great on a podcast. There's the little balls get stuck, even though it's like an extra wide straw. They get stuck, and then and so you know, it's fun because you have to really suck it up there to then get more of the tea, or you pick out the straw and eat it from the bottom. And but you know, your listeners don't want to hear me do that into the microphone.
I kind of want to allow one or two sounds, like maybe while I'm calculating this MASH scenario, once I have your answers, maybe part of the filling of the silence of me calculating is, in addition to, I will ask you to tell the listener where they can find you and what they need to know about, maybe we can also take a moment of somber respect for the bubble tea and let you try to gets Jimmy one of them out of the straw or something right on mic.
I'll try to do it like ASMR somehow.
Oh, it's time for a quick break. I will be back after a word from our friends at Maximum Fun.
strange planets, curious technology, and a fantastic vision of the distant future. Featuring Martin Starr.
So we're going on day 14. Shuttle still hasn't come.
Aparna Nancherla.
The security system provides you with emotional security. You do the rest.
Echo Kellum.
Can you disconnect me or not?
Hurry Kondabolu.
I'm staying.
From Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Jeffrey McGiver.
Could you play Cyndi Lauper's Girls Just Want to Have Fun?
It's The Outer Reach. Stories from beyond.
Now available for free at MaximumFun.org or anywhere you listen.
All right, let's get into this MASH game. First category, we didn't get too into your love of sports, but here's what I want to do. You literally mentioned the word triathlon one time, mm-hmm. and yet I am crafting an entire MASH category after it. So I want you to give me three versions of a triathlon where you get to pick the combination of sports, any sport at all. I don't care if it's, and we'll count like checkers, video games, lacrosse, football, like every sport that we can think of, even a loosely defined sport. Give me three different combos.
Okay.
Like the first one is blah, 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 and blah. And then the second one. So go.
Okay. Three different combos. So triathlon is three things, right? So
yes.
Okay. So the first leg would be a sport, which is, I'd say downhill skiing. Skiing, sunny day, nice snow, you know. Then you get to the bottom and the next of the hill, and the next sport is lifting a heavy pitcher of beer.
Great.
And then you finally, the third leg is you use your finger vigorously to doom scroll your Twitter feed and undo all of the positive you've done with the first two legs.
Amazing. Okay. Now I need two more combos like that, because you're going to end up with one triathlon at the end, as that is how MASH is played, right? So now what's your next triathlon going to be?
Next triathlon is the first leg is making guacamole, but with with one of those what are they called?
Mortar and pestle.
Yeah, mortar and pestle really working.
I'm
the
on
arm.
Board.
Okay, the next leg is picking up the guac in a chip, and the third leg is lying down in bed and rubbing my stomach.
Great. And final triathlon combo.
Okay. First leg is
I love that the first triathlon actually had some kind of activity.
Yes,
I
know.
The second one was like, fuck that.
Okay, yeah.
What's the third one going to be?
The third one is very active. Okay, so third one is, first leg is sex. Okay.
Great.
Second leg is, let's say, and I should maybe be a shower.
And you can transport yourself. You can also transport yourself somewhere. So if it's like, I have sex, but then also somehow I'm magically naked in a lagoon night swimming after
all right,
sex.
You
really take yourself somewhere if you
want. Okay. I did take myself to the ski hill, and then all of a sudden I was like, no, I'm quarantined in my apartment. And the timeline needs to check out. Like, I do need to go from one thing to the next thing. Like,
yeah.
I need to be positive.
Yeah.
Oh, imagination. Okay. So the first one is sex. The second leg is swimming in the ocean.
Great.
At sunset. And the third one is, I'm going to say, trying to get a table for outdoor brunch in New York City during a pandemic.
Right
after an election.
That's a marathon.
Yeah, where everybody feels, where everyone's like, woo, it's warm. Yeah. We've got a new president, maybe. We're feeling good. And everybody's going to brunch, and you have to get a table safely.
Oh, man. That is seriously could be its own triathlon, just an attempt to try to do that. Okay. To your point, we need to get you out of the apartment.
Yes.
Three places. We're going to open the imagination. Three places in the world that I can teleport you right now to do whatever. It could be doing absolutely nothing on a beach. It could be wandering the streets of Rome. It could be the Amalfi Coast. Whatever sounds good to you right now, and we're going to take COVID out of it as well, of course. So three places I can teleport you right now.
Okay. Number one, I would say, yes, the streets of Quebec City. Why don't we say that?
Love it.
Okay. Second location would be Quebec City. I'd say, let's go with Amalfi Coast. A Greek island. A Greek island, because that was something I was supposed to do before COVID that didn't happen. And the third one would be at a big, I'd say my mom's from Peru. I didn't mention that. So I'd say in Lima with all my family. That was also somewhere I was supposed to go, around the dinner table with all like the best Peruvian food that they have, and everybody there celebrating being together.
Oh, that sounds so great. Okay, I love this. Okay, next category, let's do three movies you can jump into whenever you want. You're not reliving the plot. You're just getting in that world. So it can be as fantastical or sci-fi or grounded as you want. Three movies you can jump into.
Okay, I'm going to say I would love to be at the Breakfast Club, the Breakfast Club, hanging out in the school. I'd love to be in one of those space movies floating around. I don't know which one. But before, we realized that there's been a disaster.
Uh-huh, yep.
And then I'm going to say, I don't know, something on the ocean, maybe a movie location wise. What's a good movie that's on the that takes place at sea? That's not
that
Jaws.
That isn't the Titanic. Everything that takes place on the sea
is going to be bad, right?
Yeah, like something terrible happens. there's a movie that I absolutely love so much called The Imposters, which is Stanley Tucci and Oliver Platt's movie that they made together, and it takes place on an ocean liner, sort of in the Titanic era. And nothing bad happens, and it's very charming. So I recommend that you see it. I mean, I don't want to force you to be in a movie you've never even seen, but I did think of that when you said something positive on the ocean.
Unless I'm going to say an older movie. I'm going to say Weird Science. I don't know. That just popped into my
amazing
head.
I wanted to say
where there's
that,
a party, where there's a party, the parents are away. It's like crazy, and just before the cleanup.
Yeah, because in those 80s teen party scenes, it was like they just went for it. Like a pizza is playing on the record player instead of a record.
and then
that happen?
and then they're like, this is a sign. It's been a great party. It can't be a party.
Exactly. You open a broom closet and then just like thousands of empty beer cans fall on you the next day. And you're like, who rigged this? Like, when did this happen?
And then they managed to clean it up. They clean it up so fast. And then just as the parents are coming in, they're like, oh, they just notice the clock is a little bit tilted. And then
Exactly. Ugh, that's an amazing imaginary world. I also want to quickly say that because we had just been talking about getting a table outdoors in New York, that what I wanted to say to you is the Breakfast Club, where the only reservation you need is detention.
Yeah.
Okay. Not worth bringing back up, but had to say it. It was stuck in my brain.
Yeah. I'm glad you did. No. It's
okay.
A good tagline.
Thank you. Okay. Next category. Let's do three things that exist in the world that we're going to give you credit for. Like, and it could be anything from, you know, a book to a building to a concept like the sandwich, whatever. Three things that you appreciate in the world that we're going to actually give you credit for. Like, you created that. Oh, you're responsible for that. Thank you.
Okay. I want to be responsible for flight. That was my invention. So when
Wonderful.
You get to travel, you can thank me. I would like to be responsible for coming up with the idea that to melt cheese.
Yes, indeed.
That was me too. And I sent a few postcards to voters in Georgia to get them to the polls. And so I'm going to take credit for Georgia going blue. It wasn't Stacey Abrams. It was me. Yeah.
I love it. Fantastic. Fantastic. Okay. Next category. Let's do three alternate universe careers.
Oh my God. Well, I would love my fantasy as someone who has no musical ability is to be a rock star. So rock star. I'd like to be someone with some power. So I'm going to say I'd like to be in charge of all of social media.
Ooh,
just the director of social media, and to be able to choose what the algorithm props up and what
very
it
nice.
Bans.
Very nice.
I was going to say Secretary of General of the United Nations, and then I realized that's not as powerful as that job.
That's right. Touché and agreed.
And then, I think a sick job is people who get paid to like travel and stay in hotels and go to restaurants and tell people what they think of it. Like a travel blogger, I'd say.
Great. Okay, next category, three foods that in this alternate universe that we are creating here, every food is sort of equal in terms of like nothing's bad for you, nothing's bad for the environment or, you know, kind of ecologically responsible. Nothing has more calories or sugar than the other. It's just all about the taste and it's harmless for you. So three foods that you would love to have in perpetuity at the snap of your fingers with zero ramifications.
Okay, pizza.
Great.
Ice cream.
Yes, indeed.
And I guess cheeseburgers. Am I American or what?
You've really proven it today. I don't see a single poutine on this list.
I know. Okay. Poutine would be fourth, runner up.
And that's why
I need a dessert and pizza. Yep. And cheeseburger. I mean, if we're not talking, yeah, and everything else is like, well, the thing is, poutine is good for you, so I don't need to imagine it in an alternate universe as not being bad for me. It's very healthy. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Okay, next category. All due respect to your wonderful wife in the MASH game, we do an alternate universe romance. Three people, it could be characters from something, it could be anyone living or dead from any era, any age you want to set them at. The sky's the limit. So three alternate universe romantic partners.
I mean, I'm just thinking currently of the celebs, you know, that in this day and age,
fair.
You know, Kate Blanchett. I mean,
agreed.
Current day.
All day.
The Instagram account Dyke Blanchett is one I follow, and it's just all lesbian memes about Kate Blanchett. It's not, I'm just, I don't know why I'm plugging it, but I enjoy it. Anyway, it's not my account. So Kate Blanchett, oh my God, I can't believe I'm forgetting her name. Rachel from Disobedience.
Vice?
Rachel Vice, yeah. I was thinking Rachel McAdams, but it's definitely not Rachel Vice. And right. I mean, I'm going to say Brad Pitt circa A River Runs Through It.
Great.
A little bi representation for you.
Appreciated. And I feel like that is, that and Legends of the Fall are sort of like the key golden years for many people in their opinion of Brad Pitt.
Mm-hmm. Although he's still holding up great. Yeah.
He's doing all right. That's one where I 100% completely get it and respect it utterly. And for some reason, he's just never done anything for me at all. It's just one of those things where you just don't know. Like it does, he doesn't. I don't know. It's like I think he might be too cute for me, but you know, but then you could point to someone else and be like, but Janet, that person is also very like perfect faced. And I'd be like, I don't know.
My best friend, her type, like as she describes it is people, like she likes people who are attractive, but look ugly from some angles.
I appreciate that.
You know, like how some people you're like, oh, I didn't see that. Like they can just, they have a lot of different, they can look different. Many, like the same person can look different. I don't know
how. Absolutely.
She describes it better. Yeah.
No, I totally get it. Cause I just had that thought, and I mean this with total respect because I'm so thrilled that she is a giant star now. Because I think that's how we are, you know, our great actors and actresses should be, but like Elizabeth Moss, like there are moments where you're like, she's the most stunning woman I've ever seen. There are moments where you're like, oh, she's a goblin, but like that's her transformation and that's her willingness to just cry ugly on screen. Like I love all of the humanity of that, and I guess I feel like it's only good for everyone. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's literally exactly who my friend references as her example.
Too bad that we've only come up with one example between the two of us unknowingly. Yeah. It's a good example. It's a pretty strong example. Okay, and then final category. Oof, what do I want to give you for your final category? I'm trying to think of anything that I know to now be true about you that I didn't really get to delve into in any other way. Is there anything that like you feel like, oh, you know what? How about like... are you interested in sort of seeing a moment in time from the past, or like solving a mystery from the past, or, you know, sort of getting a chance to walk around in the streets of XYZ in a different era? Or is that totally not interesting to you?
No, that's interesting. I think I've always, I don't know, maybe because we just saw so much footage of it, but I wouldn't mind it. I would love to go back to like, you know, the 60s, like when things were like Woodstock type of like period of time, and see what that was like when people were just feeling quite liberated with drugs and sex and music. That seems like a good time. And okay, so there would be that period of time. I would be like, let's say, you know, in the US, I would like, I don't know. I'd be curious to go like, maybe, I don't know. I can't, I'm thinking about going really way back to places before like they were colonized to see what they were like.
Yeah.
But then I would like really stick out, like assuming I wouldn't stick out.
No, it's like an invisible safety. You're like in a safety bubble and you could be invisible so that you're just a witness.
Okay,
you know,
so
it doesn't have to be like, it could be like you're an invisible witness.
Okay, so I would like to so imagining being in North America, let's say before like white people arrived. I don't know why, but I'd be curious about that. And then another one would be going back in time. Sorry, I know I'm taking so long. Please edit out my. Wait, because I had another one. So it was that. I mean, I guess to relive some kind of great moment, discovery. I can't think of one right now. Where would I want to be? I guess I would say maybe like in the Amazon somewhere. Before like deforestation and you know, mining companies and that's a little bit along the same lines maybe as the North American.
No, it's great. Anyway. Well, it's a totally different place in the world though. I strongly approve.
Okay, good.
Okay. Now final thing. Give me one word. It doesn't have to be an adjective. It could be a noun, but give me, or verb, but just give me one word that kind of describes your feel, how you're feeling today in this moment.
Relief.
Okay. Could you, tell the wonderful people where they can find you, what they need to know. And then if you have any bubble tea left, I want to welcome you in to trying to get some out and into your mouth.
I have so much left because I've got a full thing stuck in the straw right now. I've got at least one pearl in here. But people can find me on social media, Instagram, Twitter, at Jess_Solomon, S-A-L-O-M-O-N. I have the underscore. I didn't get there before the other Jess Solomon. So yeah, underscore.
Sorry,
for
Jess.
Me. Yeah. Not great. Not great. I will say that I have a podcast out with the BBC World Service called Comedians Versus the News, VS the News. So you can search for that. And our last episode of the season is out today. But anyway, also, my wife is a comedian too, and we have a duo act and a cartoon account on Instagram that's at The L Solomon. So TheElSalomons. Because I'm Jess Solomon, she's Iman El Husseini, and El Solomons, The L Solomons was our wedding hashtag.
Oh, nice.
And then we just. It developed into a comedic duo act and a cartoon Instagram account. So,
and I'm going to have her on the podcast as well, which I'm excited about.
Mm. She is terrible. You don't want to talk to her at
all. Alrighty. No. Okie doke.
No.
Good talk.
She's the best. She's the best.
excellent. No, okay. And I do feel like you incorporated some bubble into what was just happening. Yeah.
This is me stirring the ice. How does that sound to people? And then
really good because I can hear it on my end even.
Okay. I can't drink the liquid. I'm trying to suck into the. Is this making gross noises?
It sounds good. I mean, it sounds like crushed ice, and that's some sort of proof that this has all happened.
Yeah. I wish I could get. I got to get one of these bubbles out and like, damn. I can't like.
Look, it's been a tough week for us all.
They're lodged in this straw. Gonna need scissors.
Oh boy. Okay. Well, I'll let you do that operation once we wrap this up. I do have your results for the MASH game. I'm very pleased with the results. I feel certain you will be as well. I'm seeing some really good stuff here. I don't even know where to start. It's all so great. Well, first I want to congratulate you on creating just a human ability to fly. That's a really big deal.
You're welcome.
We are all very grateful. I think that goes, of course, hand in hand with your life as a jet-setting travel blogger. That's a real... The only thing I was going to say is he who smelt it, dealt it situation. Like you invented flight, so you became a travel blogger. And that's the metaphor or the like stupid saying that that's what I could think of. How embarrassing.
That's
okay. So traveling, reviewing, et cetera, et cetera. I want to... Obviously, that makes it very easy for you. If you had wanted to fly there, you could just fly to the Greek Isle. In this case, I've teleported you. But you, I never said how I was going to get you home. So maybe it's a good thing that you have all this access to travel and flying.
A lot of options.
I want to congratulate you on your ability, probably not through flight, but through some other form of magic, to be an invisible witness to North America before colonization.
Yes.
you could probably slip that into the travel blog without anybody noticing. You have, oh, by the way, the place, the Greek Isle, you have a mansion on the Greek Isle. You've got the mansion of MASH.
Naturally, yes.
Very nice work.
That's big, yeah.
Very nice. This works, I think, very nicely this is kind of a good combo with the Greek Isle option, which is that your triathlon that you ended up having is sex, swimming in the ocean, but then also having to get a table outdoors for brunch in New York. So it could be that you do the swimming in the ocean even off the Greek Isle, and then you have to fly for the third leg back to New York to get that table for brunch.
I mean, thank God I invented flight.
Again, it could not be coming in more handy. I will also say, I don't know if you're going to be having pizza at brunch. I've had a very good breakfast pizza in my day with a nice cracked egg and some, you know, all kinds of delicious stuff. But you can have as much pizza as you want whenever you want with zero ramifications to anyone, including you.
Dream come true. Yeah.
You are experiencing all of this with none other than perfection herself. Cate Blanchett.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. My first answer.
I couldn't be more thrilled for you. A little envious, but also very, very excited for you. And then, as if getting that table outdoors for brunch in New York weren't enough, you can also go to the place where the only reservation you need is detention. Whatever you like, you can pop right into the Breakfast Club.
Amazing.
Yep.
That's perfect. That's a good MASH game. Answers. Yeah.
Great outcome.
I used to play this as a kid, and I remember like one section was cars, the houses, and then we played like obviously like your dream guys, and all my celebrity people were all like looking. I mean, they all turned out to, I can't believe it, but it was like Kirk Cameron, who's become like, you know, like a religious wing nut. Mel Gibson. Anti-Semite. None of them turn out. I turned out to be married to a woman, and they turned in another direction. David Hasselhoff, I had a huge thing for as a kid when he was Knight Rider.
That's and fabulous.
Forget it. Yeah, I mean, and I think the other one was Michael Jackson. I used to like those were good. My four nice. Guys. I mean, can nice. You imagine?
Nice, and they all fall down.
Yes,
very nice. Well, Jess, this was so much fun. I kept you longer than I meant to, but I was just having such a great time talking with you, and what a lovely respite from the insanity of today and of this week. So thank you so much for being on, and I very strongly encourage everyone to go out, follow you if they don't already, find your stuff, enjoy it. And that's
Thank
it.
You.
That's all I got.
I had
Thank
a wonderful
you.
Time. This was such a pleasure. I got to fantasize about an alternate universe where many amazing things are happening, and enjoy this universe with you as well. So I appreciate it.
Well, hopefully we'll get a chance to be around each other in person when things have calmed down a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. So thank you. And everybody listening, I'll talk to you next time on the podcast. The show is recorded by me and edited by Julian Burrell. And as always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
On skyscrapers, bring the villains to their knees. Maybe we should move someplace new. And they'll time see.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.